Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today, we will continue reading the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 15, description of the kingdom of God, and today we will read verse 32. Munaya uchu kovam ihaitya bhagavat paricharya yogchais tadharminam nivasatam vishama swapava tasmin prashanta purushe gata vigrahe vam ko vatma vat kuhakayo parishankaniya. Translation. The sages said, means the four commands. Who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they're posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord? How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? Mercy God Hare Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves. Isn't that interesting? It takes one to know one. Okay, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The difference between the inhabitants of a Vaikuntha planet and those of a material planet is that in Vaikuntha, all the residents engage in the service of the Lord himself and are equipped with all his good qualities. It has been analyzed by great personalities that when a conditioned soul is liberated and becomes a devotee, about 79% of all the good qualities of the Lord develop in this person. Therefore, in the Vaikuntha world, there is no question of enmity between the Lord and the residents. Here in this material world, the citizens may be inimical to the chief executives or heads of state. But in Vaikuntha, there is no such mentality. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. Hare Krishna. You remember, we told the story last night, if you were there, at Monacay. Prabhupada saying you can't go back to Godhead unless you're 100% pure. You remember that? And the devotees, he saw the devotees were a bit apprehensive, 100% pure. Oh, that's, are we going to be capable of that? And Prabhupada said, all right, 90%. But they were still apprehensive. All right, 80%. But they were still apprehensive. And Prabhupada, as I understand, reduced it a couple of levels further, but the devotees were still apparently somewhat apprehensive. And therefore Prabhupada said, all right, just hold on to my dhoti and I will take you back. I have the key for the back door. In other words, when no one is watching, he'll sneak us in. If it's not for that, well, I don't know. Seriously, I actually don't know what's going to happen. All right, so here we go. Let's continue. The basic principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages, therefore, were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the palace were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. It may be said that a doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in this matter, because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumars concluded that the only reason for the doormen's checking them was that the doormen themselves were imposters. Do you understand this word imposter? You do? You do? Okay. Okay. Right, let's read the verse again. Munaya uchu kova mihaitya bhagavat paracharya yo chais tadarminam nivasatam vishama subhava tasmin prashanta purushe gata vigrahe vam kovat mavat kuhakayo parishankaniya. Sages said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality? Even though they're posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord, how are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemy's coming into this kingdom of God? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemy. Who could be envious of him? Probably these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves. Do you understand this word imposter? You do? You sure? Yeah, yeah, sure. Is that the word?
Huh? It's not real. It's not a real one.
Okay, not a real one. Well, yeah, it's not just not a real one, but it's like posing as a real one. Yeah, and usually it means posing as a real one in order to take advantage in some way and sort of exploit or abuse. All right, so there we go. Another really amazing verse in purport. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasta Bhutale Namati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namame Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pracharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskaja Vishkarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkabhuridhyas chakripa sundar vyevaja. Padidana bhavane vyo vaishnave vyo namo namah. Just as a matter of interest, who made this beautiful garment? Your mother. Very nice. Okay, so here we go. Continuing the story of the very dramatic encounter between the four Kumars and Jai and Vijay and the ensuing cursing of Jai and Vijay to fall down into the material world and become demons, like real demons, like aggressively anti-God, violently anti-God. Yes, so there's a number of important points here. That, first of all, that before Kabbalah is a surprise. How are people like this here? Because in this place, at least in this place, there are no people who have this sort of state of mind. You just don't find people like that at all. Everyone here, usually, is a pure devotee of the Lord, and as such, they have so many, even the majority, Prabhupada mentions 79%, somewhere he said, 79% of the qualities of the Lord. About 79%. There's a list of qualities if you look in Nectar of Devotion. Chapter around 20, 21. These chapters, 64 qualities of Krishna are listed out. And then the following chapters, they are explained with examples. How the Lord exhibits these qualities, and sometimes how devotees exhibit the qualities. The devotees exhibit these qualities up to 79%, but not completely, because the living entities are small, so they can possess different qualities. And like, just as a simple example, they can possess money, but they can't possess all the money. It's just not possible. But they can possess some money, so they can develop. They can possess some of the qualities of the Lord, like the Lord. Well, maybe we should sometime actually really go through those qualities, but qualities like mercy, patience, tolerance, poeticness, being sort of, what would you say, very stable in mind, no symptoms of bipolar syndrome from one to the other. Sort of extreme of emotions, but always very stable, and the qualities like being very reliable. This is one of the qualities which I particularly appreciate in Krishna and in others, and in my own little way I try and do it myself, but being reliable, not being unreliable. And in Nectar of Devotion, where this quality is discussed, there's a very nice example given, at least I like it very much, that Queen Kunti, prior to the Battle of Kurukshetra, just immediately before, she approached Lord Krishna, and she said, "My Lord, this battle is just about to take place, and my son, the Pandavas, they are participating, and it's a battle, and so many people are going to be killed and hurt, and just, oh, that's such a dramatic and extremely unpleasant situation. So my Lord, I have a request for you. Please see that my son are not killed, that they survive this battle." And Krishna said, "Tatastu, let it be." let it be. So that's what happened. The battle took place 18 days, and it was really just such an extreme situation, and so much destruction of life, and pain and bloodshed is just practically out of this world. And hardly anyone survived. Out of, what is it, 680 million or something, many millions, really many, millions and millions of people, just a few hundred survived. But amongst them were the Pandavas. They survived. Not only did they survive, but they weren't even harmed. They didn't even sustain any wounds or any cuts or these types of things. So they just survived, you could say, unscathed. And Queen Kunti, at the end, when this everything was finished and she saw that actually this is now the case and my sons have survived and they're not damaged in any way at all, and actually Krishna in a number of situations with each one, perhaps most famously Arjuna when fighting with Karna, by Krishna's arrangement, they were saved in each one of them in certain very dangerous situations where if Krishna had not intervened, well, they might have been killed. Like I said, most famously in the case of Arjuna fighting Karna, that Karna's chariot wheel got stuck in a hole, and he got out to release it. And Kshatriya conduct is that when your opponent is in such a situation, you have to wait until they've got themselves back together again. But Krishna told him, no, kill him now. And Arjuna did. Otherwise, who knows what might have happened to Arjuna. So anyway, it was like that. And at the end, Queen Kunti approached Lord Krishna, and this is described in Nectar of Devotion, and said, thank you, my Lord. Thank you for upholding your promise, your word of honor, saving my son. And she said, someday snow may become hot, and someday the sun may become cold, but I know your word will never change. That's interesting, isn't it? I really like that one. I mean, they're all extremely nice. But the devotees, as they progress, step by step, they manifest these qualities, or at least 79% of the qualities. There's certain qualities of the Lord which cannot, a normal living entity like us, cannot develop at all. Zero. Life. The Lord is the source of unlimited universes. Sorry, if you have any ambitions of that sort, you know, sort of creative ambitions, you can't do that one at all. Zero. And there's others, like Krishna himself, has four special qualities which not only we cannot manifest at all, But even other forms of himself cannot manifest at all, like his ability to play the flute. He can play the flute in such ways, such amazing ways, that this river here at the back, it will turn, it will become hard, and you can walk across it without getting your feet wet. And when the cows hear it, they sometimes become stunned, and they become like painted pictures. This is how Nectar of Devotion describes the flute playing of Krishna. And the hills become liquid. Rock becomes liquid. So we find, it's actually in Gopal Champu of Srila Jiva Goswami, during the lifting of Govardhan Hill, Lord Krishna's holding the hill, and all the devotees are there just staring at him and sustaining themselves just by drinking his beauty and his loving mood. And Radharani was looking at him. And as she was looking at him, she was casting sidelong glances. I will not demonstrate. Well, should I demonstrate something? Okay, let me demonstrate. This is interesting. Sidelong glances are when you are here, and you're looking at, like me, I'm looking in this direction. But the other person who, you have a relationship, is here, on this side, or maybe that side also. And you want to look at that person without observers, people who are looking at you, noticing that you're looking at that person. So therefore, you can't go like that at all. You have to stay like this, but very quickly. So anyway, that was just a little demonstration. But let me now show you how a real sidelong glance is done. Very quick, extremely quick. So even people who are like studying you, they really watch. Are you going to look at that person or what? They won't notice. Okay. So just watch my eyes. I am going to, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to look at Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. So I will look to the right. And I want you to watch very carefully and see if you see my eyes move. Because I'm going to try and do like a real authentic sidelong glance. Okay, you ready? So watch. Just watch carefully. Did you see it? You didn't see it, did you? Too fast. So, the gopis and Krishna, they're so expert at this. They're so expert that their parents, who are always concerned, are our daughters messing around with this boy? They watch them. They just watch them. They can't see. And when they do these sidelong glances to Krishna, because there's so much focus and concentration in it, when they do it and then Krishna sees that they're doing it just momentarily, it almost knocks Krishna over. There's like a physical potency just in that glance, and particularly it stimulates his heart very strongly. So there they were. Krishna's holding the hill. Everyone's looking at Krishna. Radharani is, sometimes giving sidelong glances. And other gopis warn her, don't do this. Stop it. Stop it. Because if you do it, he may drop the hill and we'll be in trouble. And don't encourage him to play his flute. Discourage him. Because if he plays the flute, this is actually Madhu Bangal, Krishna's funny Brahmin friend. If he plays his flute, the hill may melt on us. Ah, and that'll be a serious problem. So anyway, somehow we got into that. But yes, the qualities. So the four commands, they're sincerely surprised. How could a person or two people with such negative attitudes, who are even in this place where no one can come near it, what to speak of enter, unless they're 100% pure. How is it that they, without speaking to us, without knowing us, without knowing who we are, what is our state of mind, and just without knowing anything, they just look at us and they assume these people should not be here. It is wrong. So what sort of state of mind could these people have to just assume and to express it so strongly that we should not be allowed to enter? And it's a very good question. It's a really good question. As Prabhupada says here, no one can enter Vaikuntha unless they're 100% pure. These people are entering Vaikuntha. It's impossible if they're not 100% pure. But these, the Jayanvijaya, they're simply assuming that we are not 100% pure, that we're not real devotees. On what basis? There is no basis. It's not possible. Just because we're young, that was the point. Just because we look like little boys. So this is a very important point. And then they go on to say, so they have to develop the qualities, and as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that there's a foundation to the qualities. Without having the foundation from which the qualities can develop, then the qualities cannot develop. Just like, if you want to build a house, now some of you may not be so familiar with the technology of building houses. You know what the first thing you have to do when you build a house? I mean, first of all, you've got to have plans. But the first thing in terms of the physical work is you have to dig holes or trenches and put in foundations which have the strength, because the earth generally does not have the strength to hold the structure. So you have to make a foundation reinforced with steel and with like very heavy concrete, so that will hold up the house. Otherwise, let me tell you a very mildly interesting thing about Russia. There was a practice in Russia in the old days. They used to build houses Well, they still did to some degree, but they used to build all the houses out of wood, because in Russia they have 60% of all the world's trees. So every house in the old days was built of wood. However, devotees and friends, they didn't use foundations. And it's quite funny, actually. You go to parts of Russia and you see these houses on angles and sort of, you know, on that sort of angle, the bottom of the house, because it's sunk, because the ground cannot hold the structure, because the structure weighs tons. Yeah. So, in terms of qualities, it is not really possible to develop like meaningful, substantial, and like very beautiful, outstanding qualities unless there's a foundation. And that foundation is devotion to the Lord. The mood of service to the Lord, love for the Lord. That is required, because otherwise, when a person's in material consciousness, there is a foundation, sort of a psychological, emotional foundation to material consciousness, the material consciousness of any particular individual. That foundation is envy of the Lord. This is why we have come here. We came here because at some point we were with Krishna, but we thought, why is everyone serving him? Why? Why is everyone, everything, whatever anyone does, just focused on pleasing him? Why can't at least one person focus on me? At least one, or more would be better. But at least one, it's not fair. Why everyone and everything focused on him? I want to get at least one person focused on me. Then we fall to flat. Yes. We enter the material world. And then life is going on the basis that let me get people and, you know, facilities for me so I can be the center. Yeah. And when there is some competition with me for some facility or the attention of some person or persons, when there's some competition, then I become envious. First of all, we're envious of Krishna. It's just like in principle. But then we also become envious of others who, within this world, are trying to defeat us, compete with us, and get the things that we want, and get the people we want to have focused on us, but they're trying to get them focused on them. You follow the idea? And with this as a foundation of envy, selfishness, desire to enjoy independently, and it, you know, in many cases it may be subtle, but in many cases it's not. A willingness, a readiness to abuse others if they get in the way of my plans, etc. Like that. Now, even just consider this, devotees. Think about this. What about, do any of you have a relationship with a mosquito? There he is. Harry Ma, how are you doing? That sort of relationship. Of course not. generally the type of relationship we have with mosquitoes is if they bite us, yeah, we're ready to kill them. We're ready. And sometimes some do, let's face it. Think, when was the last time you killed a mosquito? Anyway, you think about it. But there was a cockroach over there. I thought he was offering dandavats. But he was on his back, a new way of offering dandavats. But then I realized he'd left his body. And then I understood there must be a reason. Someone got him. So we may say, ah, it's a mosquito, they're a nuisance. It's a cockroach, it's a nuisance, it's unclean or whatever. But consider the mentality. We're ready to kill them. We're ready. Without a thought, even in many cases. Not like, my God, what am I going to do about this cockroach? You get the idea. These things, our consciousness is multi-layered. And as you go down deeper through the layers, you know, there are things, they're deeper, so they're not so obvious, but they're there. And there's some pretty nasty things down. So with a foundation like that, how are you going to develop a consciousness of, for example, being merciful to all living entities? Of being humble, being tolerant, being patient, being very, as we said, reliable, honest. Let us just say, on the material level, it is difficult. It really is. To develop a wide range, like the full range available, 79% of the qualities of Krishna himself. It is very difficult to develop them much. And what to speak of to a very, very significant extent. You know, I'll just give you an example. We were, many years ago, it was actually like 1989, 1990, we were doing book distribution in one suburb in Johannesburg, South Africa. And the SPCA were there. Do you know who's the SPCA? Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. The SPCA. It's a big international organization. It's probably in Mauritius too. So they were doing a collection for their programs, because they, you know, they tried to save dogs and cats, particularly dogs and cats, domestic animals, if they're going to be killed or if they're being abused. So there we were, there they were, you know, we're doing our things. And then they took a lunch break. And I noticed that when the one young man was taking his lunch break, he purchased from one takeaway snack type bar, he purchased a hot dog. And so I asked him, is that vegetarian? He said, no. So, in other words, love some animals, but kill others. If you go a little deeper into it, things become unpleasant. And actually, that's the case with all of us, unfortunately. So the foundation for developing good qualities is devotion to the Lord. Therefore, the four Kumars are thinking, these people, this giant Vijay, they're displaying these bad qualities. It must be they're not devotees. Because if they were devotees, they couldn't be like this. They wouldn't have this sort of negativity and aggressiveness in their hearts. They couldn't do it towards innocent people. So, yeah, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, I forget the actual details, but it's talking about the non-devotees, how they cannot really, or they struggle at least, to develop much in the way of good qualities. And the particular line is, mano rate nasato, rate nasati davato bahi. Because they are traveling on the rath, the mana rath, mano rate nasati davato bahi. Because they're traveling on the chariot of the mind. Therefore they can't develop good qualities in at least in such meaningful ways like the devotees. It tends to be very, you know, thin, very insubstantial if they have. Whereas the devotees, because they're devotees, they naturally have all the good qualities of the demigods and more. So anyway, so it's very interesting logic that the four Kumars are applying. There is more to it than that also. But we will discuss that. We will keep you in suspense. Come back tomorrow and find out about the more. There is more. There's some amazing things. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question?
Maharaj.
Yes.
In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9.
Yes.
It's written that all the living entities are the sons of the Lord.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
So, can we assure that the mosquito and the cockroach and ourselves are some related with each other?
Of course. Absolutely. They, you know, they just happen to have those bodies for the time being. And, you know, sort of the interesting news is we have also been mosquitoes and cockroaches. We've had those bodies. It's understood that we have already been through all species of life already. And we can go through them all again if we don't become Krishna conscious. So, yes. And just because we have a human form now and some other living entity has some other form, has no bearing at all on what form we will have in the kingdom of God. Yes. The mosquito, the soul, the living entity in the body of the mosquito, may be a cowherd boy or even cowherd girl in Goloka Vrindavan. But just now, unfortunately, he or she is in this terribly fallen condition. Yeah. So, you know, just because we have human male doesn't mean, for example, that when, if, or let's just say when, Hare Krishna, we go back to Godhead, we're going to have a male form, or even a human form. We may have a female form, and a non-human form. Yeah, and the same for a female, someone who's in a female body now. One devotee asked Prabhupada, trying to sort of appear humble or express humility. Devotee said, you know, I'm so fallen. I think when I go back to Godhead, I'll just be a blade of grass. useless. Prabhupada replied, you would be so fortunate. Because the blades of grass in Goloka Vrindavan, they are way above any of us. Way above. And just being in that sort of, you know, we would consider very limited type of situation doesn't mean they're limited in their relationships with Krishna. They're not limited. But okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Say to.